Hi everyone, welcome back to another episode of Bitch Radio. I'm Sherston Johnson, the web content manager of Bitch Media. Today I'm speaking with Annie Murphy, a comics artist whose book I Still Live, about a 19th century woman spiritualist, won the Zurich Prize for self-published comics. Murphy is also the editor of Gay Genius, a new comics anthology of queer artists which just came out from Sparkplug Comic Books. It features 18 contributors with a wide range of both artistic and storytelling styles. I spoke with Murphy from her writing residency in New Mexico about putting the book Gay Genius together, why such a book is badly needed, and what really constitutes a genius.
Well, I was just interested to hear you talk about the book as the editor and sort of how the idea first started for you to make an anthology like this.
So I got the idea when I was staying in Vermont in White River Junction. There's a cartooning school there called Center for Cartoon Studies that I'd heard about. I knew I just wanted to do comics, and I wanted to go somewhere where I could just do comics for a year, you know, and really just, like, figure out how to do it. And, like, towards the end of the year, there was a lot of, like, special gifts that would come, like writers and artists and cartoonists and stuff. And two men came that had won the MacArthur Genius Grant. Supposedly they got, you know, $500,000 for being a genius. And, you know, I thought, wow, somebody just comes out of the blue and sort of taps you on the shoulder and decides you're a genius and gives you a lot of money or whatever. And one of my teachers there who I love and respect a lot, his name's James Thurman, he does some rad comics. He was talking in class about how he felt like the word genius was sort of thrown around loosely and that there weren't that many geniuses, sort of like saying that they're few and far between. And then I went home and I thought about it and I thought, I really disagreed. I felt like all of my friends that I knew were geniuses, creative geniuses, and came coming up with just amazing things, and I just thought they were brilliant. And I was corresponding with a friend who used the term gay genius to just describe, like, queer people doing genius stuff. And some people have asked me, like, or why do you have to differentiate that, you know, a specific kind of genius as opposed to just regular genius? And I feel like it's more exciting to me. Gay genius to me sounds like something fun, and like a lot of queers I know will just put like gay on the front of anything that queers are doing. It's like, you know, like gay marriage or like let's go gay shopping and stuff. So, but there was another queer person with me at the school whose name is Cubby, and I got together with Cubby and thought, wouldn't it be awesome to have like an anthology? What would our dream anthology be? And kind of came up with a list of people, and a lot of the people that were on that list are in the book, and it's exciting.
What was the process of putting it together like reaching out to these contributors? And were there any like specific challenges you found along the way?
I had been sort of keeping an eye out for people for like a couple years in advance, just kind of trying to keep track of the queers who were doing comics and people whose work I really liked and respected or had something sort of a unique quality about it. The sad thing is that I wasn't able to put everybody that I wanted in the book. I don't know, we'll see. I'm hoping maybe that means there might be some future editions. But I really wanted to curate it. I didn't have an open submissions call. I asked specific people. I asked about 20 people to begin with and then asked them to tell their friends. And these are people whose like work, you know, like I said, I already respected, or some people that hadn't done comics before, but whose like politics and art I respected. I just have gotten really frustrated in the past with what I feel like is really a lot of offensive stuff in comics. And so, I mean, basically when I sent out the submissions call, it was a total manifesto about how I thought comics and graphic narrative, that there was possibility to do some really radical stuff with it, and that I felt that graphic narrative for the last like several thousand years have sort of told a different story of history than the written word has, and just purely the written word. All over the world, stories that are told in pictures tell sort of a inherently feminist and inherently like indigenous perspective, and I was trying to encourage people to draw on that when they're telling their stories, and just own that this is a really powerful way to get messages across. And so the theme was history, and people could interpret that any way they wanted. I mean, the kind of work that I like to do is I like to tell history and sort of reenact it. From research usually particular people like biographical comics and stuff. That's what I wanted to see. That's what I wanted to read. But I also kept it really, left it really open for interpretation. Like you could tell your own personal history or the history of someone you know and love, or your family's history, or even like a pseudo history told from the future with like somebody ended up doing in the comic.
I think it's so neat that the artwork is so diverse, and there's a lot of work that's not what people might consider traditionally as comics, but it is exactly that. It's like graphic storytelling, basically.
Cool. Yeah. I mean, I had a lot of people ask me, well, I don't know if I know how to do comics. And then I would say back to them, well, I feel like anything that is a picture that tells a story counts. I mean, that's just my feeling of it. A lot of people will argue with me, you know, it's got to be in boxes, it's got to be linear, it has to be sequential, but I feel like that's, if you want to get down to it, sort of a masculinist interpretation of how stories, and Western white interpretation of how stories are supposed to be told.
Yeah, I was wondering if you could talk more, you know, you're deeply entrenched in the comics world, and I read comics, and I thought, I really love that part of your manifesto when you said, what alternative, who's underground? Because
yeah.
I tend to read, like, you know, quote-unquote, like, alternative independent comics, but you can totally see that there's still sort of one narrative that's mostly, like, white and straight and male. That's what people think of when they think of, like, comics and independent comics and stuff like that. And
definitely. Like, when I was going to school, learning history of comics and stuff, it tended to be, like, white men in comics, the history of white men in comics. And then there would be, like, you know, weeks devoted to, like, predominantly, like, white women. And I was frustrated, and I started, like, looking around and realizing there's this whole, I mean, this the whole slew of, like, comics by people of color and cartoonists of color that even just, like, things that were in the newspapers but weren't in what the white newspapers, you know. There's a really incredible website called the Pioneering Cartoonists of Color. It's really rad. It's got a collection and archives of, like, tons of people doing comics that are not white and over the last, like, century. And a lot of my friends whose work I was excited about and collaborating with were people of color at the time and now still. And I felt like I really wanted in the anthology there to be represented, like, art and cartoon and comics by people of color, art and comics by transgender people, and art and comics by disabled people, sort of folks that I feel like, you know, not only have a extra struggle to be seen in the art world in general, but even just, like, in queer community in general or in feminist community in general. I don't know. It seems like communities of white artists can tend to either tokenize people or just straight rip off from other cultures and stuff. And I think it's an important thing to notice and be aware of as white people and white feminists. Part of the manifesto of Gay Genius was that I wanted to point out a lot of what I saw happening in underground comics and underground art world, which I felt like really related a lot to cultural appropriation and cultural theft of indigenous art and, like, spirituality and stuff. And I just said straight up that I'm the editor and I get to decide that none of this is in here, but that doesn't make its way in here. And really, just in order to do that, I wanted to ask people who could speak from their own experience and represent themselves in a way that they felt comfortable doing. And I just think it's so important for all of us to be able to have images that we can relate to or that look like us or whatever represented in art. It's just, for me, like, I know I didn't even think about being a cartoonist until I saw the work of, like, E.B. Butner and, you know, Linda Barry and, you know, Alison Bechdel and stuff. Like, people who were doing, women who were doing comics, pretty much what I grew up on, the cartoons I loved. Most of them were by men, and I think, you know, somewhere along the way that had equated to me, even though I wrote and I drew constantly, and I wanted to be a cartoonist, but I never thought I could be until I actually saw people that were writing these stories about hard shit, you know, and about serious stuff, and they were women, and I just think when you see yourself reflected in media, it's really important.
Well, great. I was all my questions for you, and I think that was great. And
oh, can I say one more thing?
Definitely, yeah.
I just think that, because I've been thinking a lot about publishing and talking with a lot of people about publishing, and, like, it's interesting because people who are excited about the book have come up to Dylan, the publisher, Spark Plugged, and been like, oh, are you a queer publisher? And Dylan has been like, I feel bad, and I tell them, no, I'm just, you know, I pick the books that I want to publish, and I publish them. And I told him, you know, I think people immediately think that because so often we're told, people are told, artists are told, you know, whether they're gay, happen to be people of color and or queer and or disabled, like that somehow their stories are like for a niche audience. And I was telling Dylan, I think people assume you're a queer publisher because so often you're told, oh, go find a queer publisher, you know. And the reason I wanted to make this book is because I was convinced that there was an audience of people that needed this book, that wanted it. And I've heard so much, like, you know, with comics, even, you know, small press comics or bigger small press comics like Top Shelf and John Quarterly and Fantagraphics, they're all run by men. And there's really a select few people who these days are determining what, quote unquote, people want to read. And I don't think it's reflective of the actual right. audience. And I'm excited about, you know, things like Bitch Magazine and stuff just because you're, like, putting a different twist on that, you know, and validating other people. So, anyways, just wanted to put that in there.
Any other thing you want people to know about the book?
Well, I feel like there's so much in it, and the dedication is to a woman, Samantha Jane Dorsett, who was a comics artist and writer and many, many things. You can read about her in the book, and some of her work is in the book, and she passed away, and I was doing the Kickstarter, you know, amid, like, when there was a lot of publicity around, like, gay suicides and stuff, and youth suicides. At that point, I wasn't sure how the book was going to come out because of the money stuff and financial stuff. And when I started hearing about that kind of stuff, it really gave me the impetus in this way to finish it and have it be something that exists. I just hope it can make it into the hands of people who sort of need it most. And I just feel like queer art is really necessary. And queer art is still being censored all the time. Like, that's, I think, some of the most threatening, you know, media out there right now. You know, to the whoever it is that's deciding what gets through and what doesn't. And I just relate it to survival a lot, you know, and just to the need to, like, be real and share our lives with each other and stuff and our histories and, like, know what those things are so that everyone that needs to make it through can make it through. I don't know.
Great. Well, congratulations again.
Thanks.
You can read a full transcript of our interview by visiting bitchmedia.org/audio. You can also purchase your very own copy of Gay Genius from our online store, Bitchmart. Just go to bitchmedia.org/support-feminist-media and go to the books and stationery section. Check back weekly to bitchmedia.org/audio for more Bitch Radio or search for us on iTunes. Thanks again for listening.